Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Glad to be with you. I got to tell you what, folks. Hannah is back on the board today, and she's doing great. And we've got Jake out behind the scenes, and he's going to come in at 2:25. And we've got a really good show for you today. Why? Well, because we have some great guests lined up for you. Jason Miller is the CEO of Getter. Of course, we've talked about him many times here on the show. And they reached out to us, and they wanted to talk to us just about the landscape of social media. And Elon Musk coming in and buying Twitter. I'm excited about that conversation. So he's going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Jim Carafano rejoins the show. Last week he was in studio with us, but he'll be with us at 1:10. And I'm going to talk to him about something I'm going to talk to you about a little bit here right now. So I'll get to that in a second. And then Jay Ashcroft is going to come on at 1:25. He's the Missouri Secretary of State. And we're going to talk about free and fair elections here in the state of Missouri. Back to the thing that I want to talk about with Jim Carafano at 1:05. It's the idea of mob rule. Do you ever get the vibe that it doesn't matter what the subject is? It doesn't matter what the policy issue is or what the campaign season is. There is a party in this country that doesn't get their way. And then they throw, tantrums on the scale of tens to hundreds of people, and they destroy until they get their way. And it's, I know that I say this with some frequency, and I don't know if this becomes annoying or if it's like, oh, that's totally relatable, but it's how I see it. This is how it is to be a mom raising children, because when the kids don't get their way, they throw fits. What we've seen taking place at the homes of the Supreme Court justices that aren't approved, who are potentially going to side with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. What we're seeing these people do, like what? How do they see their behavior and go, this is what democracy looks like? Picketing outside the home of a Supreme Court justice is not what democracy looks like. That's not how this works. Which makes you ask the question, do they know that and do they want it to not work this way anymore? Are they getting their way by overturning and contorting our system, our constitutional system, and making it irrelevant so frequently that it just becomes the norm? What's the next thing? I mean, God forbid, I'm not calling anything here because I don't want to be associated with that. But you ever notice the gun control conversation? There's an event, and then it's the leading story that for 3 days, and then something else happens, of course. But it's only a story in the news right after something happens and when it becomes politically advantageous for the people who are running for office. There are no massive anti-gun protests on a standard, regular basis because it's only worth talking about to these politicians when it's politically valuable to them, when they know they can capitalize off of it. And by capitalize, yes, I mean make money off of it. The way these politicians get email blasts out into inboxes across the country, lickety-split, when there's a crisis to raise money off of it, never let a good crisis go to waste. They use these instances, it's all to raise money. They raise money on, I'm using gun control because when was the last time we had a big gun control conversation? The president has talked about it multiple times, but it's always well-placed. He even said himself, when it comes to gun control, that his predecessors were able to make hay in a timely fashion by knowing how and when to speak on the issue. If these issues are the issues that the people who are willing to parade into the streets and break windows in the buildings and in the stores of the people who live in their community and protest in this way, if it's that big of a deal, either A, it's not happening right now because we've solved the problem, or B, it's not happening right now because there's no political advantage to that kind of destruction. When we're standing outside the homes of Supreme Court justices, you have to ask yourself the question, which they will repeat ad nauseum at these protests. This is what democracy looks like. Is it really?
Well,
listen to Bill Barr.
That's not a valid form of protest because it's a violation of the law. You know, there's time and place for protest, and the federal statute makes it clear that if you go to the house of a judge, the residence of a judge, to influence the judge in his decisions and demonstrate that that's a federal crime, and it's a state crime in the state of Virginia, at least. So those are not valid forms of protest. They're obviously meant to intimidate.
So here's Bill Barr saying that it's actually criminal for these people to do that. The Supreme Court of the United States, do you think that if the rules were reversed and the Supreme Court was going to implement Roe v. Wade right now and peaceful protesters, pro-life people who are like, no, don't do this. This is terrible. We need to make this not happen, decided to stand peacefully outside the homes of the liberal activist judges on the Supreme Court. You think that the president would speak about that at all? You think he'd have anything whatsoever to say? I think he would file it under this new moniker of Ultra MAGA. If you got to hear what the president spoke, he spoke earlier today on inflation, took no blame for any of it, and told a whole heap of lies. If you go back and listen to what he says, he's now using the term Ultra MAGA, which you just know people who are MAGA are now like, you know what? I think I am Ultra MAGA. Can I get that on a T-shirt? Put that on a hat. Monetize it. Somebody go out there and do it and sell it because you're going to make money doing it. I wish he would call it Mega Mega. What's better? I don't know that he can handle that. I don't know that he can handle that phrase.
Sounds good.
Mega Mega?
For us to say it, it sounds good.
Yeah.
For him to say it, it might come out not,
not so much. When we had the poll just, was it last week, are you MAGA? And I think the majority was it the majority? They said yes.
I believe so.
I think the majority, I thought it was like 50.
There were multiple options.
Yeah, I think it was 52-ish percent said yes, MAGA all the way. And 36% or something said not, I love the policy, but wouldn't describe myself that way. And then the other one were like, heck no.
Yeah.
Whatever the math is that works out. I need to do that poll again, but now I need to put in a new option of Ultra MAGA. And see
Mega
who,
MAGA.
Mega MAGA. Yes. I like it. Joe Biden. Think of the power that Donald Trump wields sitting at Mar-a-Lago, hosting Republicans and anointing nominees across the, or not nominees, but like endorsed candidates across the country win, 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 win. I don't know. It's like 55-0. He's won. His endorsements have won. When you think about his ability to be the person who wields this much power when he literally doesn't have any actual power right now, as far as governmental power, because he lost the last election. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's really, really something to know that the country right now is suffering an inflation crisis. We talked to Stephen Moore yesterday, and we talked a lot about inflation with him. A great interview, and by that I mean he was very informative, that we had yesterday at about 1:05, that you can check on the Annie Fry Show podcast. And listen to the way he articulates where inflation is coming from and what this president needs to do to get the ship right now. Joe Biden spends the entire time he's talking about why inflation is bad by articulating that the congressional Republicans, which he has coined, led by the ultra MAGA crowd, is the reason why everything isn't going to be fixed. That's all he said. He doesn't have solutions. I don't know that he wants solutions. Because the solution for him, if you're going to talk about, you know, what are your solutions, President Biden, you have to make sure that you always remember that you got to agree on what the problem that you're solving is in the first place. And the problem that we're solving in the first place is inflation, right? Well, no, not for President Biden, because all the problem that he needs to solve is what is going to happen in the next election. November is his current problem that he needs to solve. How do you solve the massive red wave problem that Joe Biden has coming in November without solving inflation? Well, you can leave inflation in place and just convince everybody that it's not your fault. His problem is then solved. Ours isn't. But politicians, especially career politicians, don't look to solve the problems that are going to keep them in office if they continue to be successful, casting blame elsewhere, because then they get to retain their office. It's that simple. He doesn't have any solutions. He's not looking to convince anybody that he's got the right ideas and he's coming to save the day. That's not what he's interested in. Here's the rest of Bill Barr's comments on that.
You know, there's a parallel between the January 6th, which the Republican leadership condemned the violence there, the forceful entry into the Capitol and the fighting with police. But what was really bad about that was it was an attempt to intimidate the Senate and the Vice President in carrying out their duties. And what's happening now, while not as much violence has been involved yet, it's no different. It's an attempt to interfere and to intimidate the officials who are carrying out their duties under the Constitution.
He's exactly right about what we're experiencing right now. And what we are seeing from the people on the left, super predictable, by the way. Don't get caught up in the, can you believe this? Because, yes, if you can't believe it, you haven't been paying enough attention. It's par for the course that these people, these far left progressive activists, don't get their way. They find out something's not going their way, and then they take to the streets and they throw a massive hissy fit. It's really unattractive and annoying. And I wish I could ground them, but I can't. I'm going to try. Maybe I'll try. Maybe I'll go out there and just like mom them all.
They need that. They need some direction.
And first, let's talk about your behavior. And then we'll talk about the issue. But first, the behavior. That's where I will come in. Like I said, a big show today for you. Jason Miller is on with us when we come back. He's a former senior advisor to President Donald J. Trump. He's a Newsmax contributor. He's also the CEO of Getter. And we're going to talk to him about the entrance of Elon Musk into the social media scene and what he thinks about that and where it's going to and how it's going to impact all of social media. I got to think that what's coming down the pike here is going to affect the whole schmo. Also, special Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll specifically for today. I know in here in St. Louis it's going to make sense, but we already had someone comment from Vegas saying, getting his take on this. Do you prefer the temperature to be above or below 80 degrees?
Jake said he has some strong opinions on this, so I can't wait to hear those.
He's going to be worked up about it. We'll talk to him in the 225 segment. He's going to bring some stuff onto the show. We're excited to have Jake in here. But we want to know what you think about this. Do you prefer the temperature to be above or below 80 degrees? It's going to be a hot one today. It's going to be a hot one tomorrow. And if you know and listen to the show, you know I'm all about it. So, yes, bring the toasty weather here. You know how I'm voting in this. Let's take a quick break. Jason Miller with Getter when we come back. Don't go away.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The accusation is that Hunter Biden, in serving on the board of a Ukrainian company, which, you know, he is allowed to do, he was not the only foreign expert serving on the board of a Ukrainian company, was involved in some corrupt behavior of that company. This company has been investigated for a long time. Burisma is the name of the company. There's never been any indication that Hunter Biden was involved in anything untoward. And this has, you know, spun into a whole other host of nonsense, basically, that Joe Biden withheld aid to Ukraine in order to get a resolution to this investigation into Burisma and get his son out of the limelight.
Okay, that's Scary Poppins there talking about the Minister of Truth. Is that her real title, Minister of Truth? It's just so scary. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad that you're with us. A reminder, you can go jump on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now and vote in a poll. It's extremely important that we know, do you prefer it to be above or below 80 degrees? It's toasty here in St. Louis. I'm looking right now, and it says that it's 80 degrees, but the real feel is 90 degrees.
I think we might be the record high today.
Are we flirting with a record?
Yeah, Dave Murray was talking about it. I can't remember exactly what number it was, but it sounded like we were going to be pretty close.
Sweet. I love it. We've got a baseball game tonight. I think my son's game tonight is late. Is that right? Let me look here real quick. Yeah, 8 o'clock. So regardless of the temperature, if it's 80 something degrees at 8 o'clock for a baseball game, yes, please.
That's the best.
That's perfect. So go vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel in the live chat, and you can tell us what you think if you like to leave a comment. We love having you there. The Ministry of Truth, this whole Nina Jankowicz thing is interesting to me because there's so many things in our culture right now that if you're conservative, you just know that you're not allowed to talk about in certain places, or you're willing to go ahead and talk about it. And if you do talk about it, you just expect you're going to have to create your next Twitter account, or you're going to have to start over on whatever platform you're on if you get dinged once again. And the reason why this is interesting to me specifically today is because last night I watched 2000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza's film about the 2020 election. And I will tell you right now, it is must see. You need to see this film. And did it convince me of anything? what it convinced me of is that we absolutely have to have an investigation into what he's uncovered, and we have to have a nonpartisan investigation into explaining the evidence that he's collected, along with True the Vote. So I'm looking at this. The film starts out with, and I'm not going to tell you all the details because I want you to go see the film, because I want you to see it. I want you to see it for your own eyes and experience it for yourself and be the judge yourself. I'd love to know what your thoughts are on it on our live chat as well. But if you, the way it starts out is, it's Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Charlie Kirk, Dinesh D'Souza, and maybe one or two other men that are sitting in a room, and it starts with them having a conversation, asking about the election and, you know, tell me what your thoughts are about it. Tell me what you feel about the election. And Dennis Prager is like, he immediately goes, I'm agnostic on this issue, which is really, at least publicly, what the position that I've taken. I want to have two different viewpoints argued in front of me so that I can make a decision. And I have not made a decision. I'm not going to make a decision based on heart. And I think that what we have experienced in the last 2 years of people questioning things, there's been a lot more heart on the right side because we haven't been allowed to put things out there in the open and talk about it. Like, maybe the film 2000 Mules could be presented and then a rational person could explain, well, this is why this, you know, I understand that if you saw a situation where somebody was running from one place to the other with a stack of votes, that you might think that it was bad, but this is what was really going on. And then they offer a complete and total alternative and you go, oh, well, I hadn't really thought about it that way. But that doesn't happen for the public unless a conversation is allowed to be had. And we're not allowed to have that conversation. Not on social media, that is. On social media, we're supposed to toe the line, and so much so that they've now put this Nina Jankowicz person in charge of making sure that the truth is all that is out there.
How did you watch 2000 Mules? I know some of our listeners are commenting that on the stream.
So if you go to 2000mules.com, M-U-L-E-S, 2000mules.com, That's Dinesh's website where you can access it. And what I did was I purchased it through the tab that says locals. And I think it was like $30. I don't know. But I wasn't mad about spending it because this is like going to the people who are doing this and exposing this. This is very grassroots and I'm happy to support that. So I bought it, 2000mules.com. I clicked on the locals button. I purchased it there, and I made sure that when I registered for the purchase that I did it with the same email address that I am, that my account on Rumble.
Oh, okay. Is.
So as long as the email address works, when you subscribe to Dinesh D'Souza's Rumble page, the video will play for you. If you go to his Rumble page right now and you see where the video is, you'll click it and it will play a video that says that's Dinesh talking about what you need to do to purchase the video. So then I could watch it on my Roku TV on the Rumble app.
Oh, okay.
Because you can do that on there.
Was it so it was worth a purchase?
Yes.
I really, really want to see the movie.
It's an hour and a half.
And honestly, when you think about it, you would spend $30 going to the movie theater.
Oh, totally.
Easily.
Like, I was going to try when I knew that they were going to be in AMC theaters around the area here. I was going to try to go and see it in theaters, but last week was such a crazy week that I didn't have a free evening to go do it. And then when I had an evening free up, I think because of rain, I thought, oh, I'll go. Well, and no, sold out everywhere, which I thought was like, sweet.
Yeah, that's good.
That they're filling these theaters. That's great.
That's awesome.
So if I am going to go to the movie theater, for my husband and myself, I don't know. Can you buy a ticket for less than $15?
Not around here.
Especially because I've said this before. When I go to the theater, I probably go maybe two times a year. So when I go, I want the most theater experience, because
I agree.
If I'm sitting in a movie theater elbow to elbow with somebody who's like just shoveling the popcorn in there, I would get up and leave because I don't do the mouth noise thing anyway. But to sit next to somebody who I don't know who's gonna like talk during the movie, I'm just creating the worst case scenario. And no, I'm not describing my husband. I'm talking about the other person I'm sitting next to. And if I'm gonna pay $18, $20, $22 or whatever it is to sit, well, I guess it'd be a little bit less to sit in a lesser theater to watch a movie, I am now very, very comfortable waiting and watching it in my chair with my blanket next to my fireplace on my much smaller TV, but just one room away from my fridge.
Right.
That's good. I don't need to be. But if it's Doctor Strange, I want to see Doctor Strange. That is a movie that I want to see on the biggest screen with the bossiest speakers and the darkest lights and the comfiest rumbly chairs. Yes. And a drink.
It's so fun to have that total movie theater experience. I'm the same with you. I'd rather spend the extra $10, $15 to get the reclining seat and the space.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you the type of person that you have to sit in the very top row?
I usually do. That's just one row of people less that I have to be by. Mm-hmm. That's so weird. I know that it makes me sound like a terrible person, but the worst moviegoer, I'm the type of person, that person always sits next to me. And my husband's always looking at me like, how do you find these people?
I know.
So I almost like want to sit in the top row in the corner, but then it's not a good viewing experience. But I try to get top row center.
I feel like I'm that way with crying babies at restaurants.
Oh.
I feel like I attract the crying babies. Love babies, but always crying when they're around.
That's crying kids. And I have not ever really experienced. I have four kids and I have never really experienced that total utter meltdown with my kids.
In public?
I don't think so. But
I always feel bad for the mom or the parents.
That's good. I have friends and family who have experienced that. And it is, and I've been there when it's happened. And the important thing is, as a parent, you cannot give in. It might be the most mortifying day of your entire life, but if you give in, then the child has learned that to get their way, this is what they have to do. Mm-hmm. So you're just like signing on the dotted line for this to be happen the next time. It's a very difficult, stressful situation to be in. With my kids, none of my kids were ever fit throwers. And I'm saying this, and as I'm saying it, I'm like, I guess Molly will be the fit thrower. Like, she's probably like ready to throw down right now. She has a little bit of spark to her for sure. But if my kids seem to be melting down, we will immediately remove them from the situation.
Yeah.
And assess punishment elsewhere, but it's not always that easy. And you also don't know if the child has a situation or a condition that causes them to not see the world the way we do. And, you know, the parent is just doing what they're trying to do to get through. It's a difficult
every time
thing.
Like a parent will apologize to the people around. It's like, no, it's not you. It's fine. I always feel bad because I know like the parents are embarrassed and then they're worried about their kid. And it's just, and then to the people who get really frustrated with a kid that's throwing a fit, be better. Come on. Yeah. Be more patient.
Don't do that. I'll tell you this though. In church, so in
is there still cry rooms?
People have cry rooms. Okay. Some people have cry rooms. And I'm a believer in removing your crying kid from church if they're throwing a fit. But if your kid is just making noise, that's what kids do. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer of leave that kid in church. Work on getting them to the point where they can be quiet. I'll tell you, when in 2017, my husband and I were looking for a new church, and we had come out of a bad situation, and we were just looking for a place to go that was going to welcome our family and care for our family in a Christian way. That's what we were looking for. And we went to several churches around the area. And it was so funny to me, and at the time, not in a haha kind of way, but ironic. We had at the time, Evelyn was about 14 months old or something like that. She was just a little bit over a year. And she would just kind of squawk like we always referred to her as a baby raptor. She was just like, ha! It was the weirdest thing ever. And you're like sitting there in church and you're looking at your kid like they're a ticking time bomb. And you're like, oh, gosh, I know you're going to make noise. Please don't make noise. Please don't make noise. And I mean, you're talking about a 1-year-old.
Right.
You can't contain this. She wasn't an unhappy kid. She just would holler in the weirdest ways randomly.
Molly does that, too. I noticed
she
that.
She does. And we would go to some churches and, every once in a while you'd be at a church and there'd be usually an older lady. And they would just look at you, and I don't know what they're thinking, but I know what I was feeling at the time. And it just is like, you need to go to those people who are struggling in church like that with their kids and tell them you're happy that they're there. The church exactly. We're at today was a teeny tiny church, like 15 people a Sunday. And they were the majority, no, all of those 15 people were probably over 65 years old. And we went there with this little baby raptor.
Dozen of kids.
Yeah, dozens of kids. And we went there with this little squawking baby girl, and she started to kind of squawk a little bit. And my husband or I, whoever had her, started to get up and take her out. And I mean, I'm talking 15 people in a worship service, mm-hmm. in the middle of the service. And I remember the woman who turned around and she said, no, stay. We love hearing her. It brings this church back to life.
That's amazing.
And it was it,
bless
like
that woman.
In that moment in my life, it like broke me to pieces. And we're still there
<That's>
because
amazing.
Of that. I mean, it was just one of those moments where it was like, you saw me and you were there for me. And, you know, because I remember specifically when this woman started to turn around, because she's an older lady, she started to turn around to say something. I'm like, oh, here we go. And she was like, no, 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 sit down. It's okay. Stay. And I will never, for the rest of my life, forget that moment. And I will try to replicate that moment in the future for all the other moms who have little baby raptors in church and don't know what to do about it. I mean, gosh, it's not easy, but it is important. Get those babies in church for sure. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to connect with Jason Miller, we hope. And in the 1 o'clock hour, we have Jim Carafano and Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. And the 2 o'clock hour, Jake is going to storm the castle in here and bring us up to date on pop culture. I don't know if we have enough time for me. I'm so not up to date. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As you graduate and take the place in the wider world that will be yours to shape, do not shrug your shoulders and accept the normalization of untruths. Because if you do, lies become dominant and reality is distorted.
Oh, that's Dr. Fauci, in case you were wondering why that voice was saying those words. Don't accept the normalization of untruths. Well, as we've discussed here today so far, the normalization of untruths has been led mostly by social media. Social media has been able to squash the different types of stories that are disadvantageous to the people who they're in bed with and elevate and amplify people like Dr. Fauci or Scary Poppins' Nina Jankowicz and put these people out there so that the accepted narrative comes to pass. Well, somebody who has acknowledged the treacherous nature of social media and done something about it is our friend Jason Miller. He joins us now. He is the CEO of Getter, the former senior advisor to President Trump, also a Newsmax contributor. Jason, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Great to have you back.
Hey, great to be back with you. And when you talk about disinformation, here's the thing that I've always wondered. Why don't they just take what Anthony Fauci said in, say, April compared to what he said in March or even back in February and tell me which of the Faucis is telling the truth and which one is disinformation, considering he changes his mind seemingly every month?
Yeah, it could be like a game show. Which Fauci is telling the truth? it's very grating for the average American person to go onto social media. And at this point in time, I think that You know, if you're on a platform like Twitter, you know the things you can speak about and things you can't speak about. YouTube, there are things you can speak about, there are things you can't speak about. You created Getter as a way to allow people to have these discussions in an open space. You've had a lot of success. You've recently added a lot new subscribers. Can you talk to me a little bit about where Getter fits in all of this and how it's helping change the landscape of how we talk online?
Absolutely. Well, since we launched last July, we've already surged to 5.5 million users globally, half of that in the U.S., half of that outside the U.S. And what we've done is make sure that there's a safe space for free political speech, to where regardless of your ideology, your perspective, if you're on the left, if you're on the right, even if you don't even want to talk about politics, you want to just talk about whether it be sports or your family or what's going on in your neighborhood, that there's a place where you're going to be treated the exact same as every other user on the platform, where there aren't going to be anyone picking winners and losers based on your ideology. What we saw in 2020 with the Hunter Biden laptop scandal and the collusion that went on there, and of course with President Trump being deplatformed in early 2021, I think is the worst stretch of political censorship in American history.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And of course, we have Elon Musk entering the scene and purchasing Twitter. How does that affect Getter? But also, how does that affect the whole thing, if he gets to peek behind the curtain possibly and learn a little bit more about how Twitter has gone about creating an environment where we needed a Getter?
Exactly. So here's the challenge is that even if they move at light speed, the Elon Musk is probably going to take upwards of 6 months, probably after the midterms, for him to take charge of Twitter. Now, I know he just said today that he thinks he might be able to pull it off within the next 3 months. I think that might be a little ambitious. I'm not sure if the current deal and its current structure will close in that amount of time. But ultimately, if Elon Musk is able to take charge of Twitter and make some changes there, then I think that's a good thing. That's a good step in the right direction for free speech. I think for Getter, knowing that we're going to be here and we know already what our policies are, the fact that we're a place for free speech, that we have the all-in-one aspect of not just the timeline, the scroll, but we have our live streaming, which we've just crossed over 117 million views since that started last October. And then on June 1, when we launched Vision, which is our competitor to TikTok and Instagram Reels, we are setting ourselves up for not just the content creators, but then also as far as where we go into the future with the next generation that loves that TikTok and Instagram Reels format. So it's, I think we both cater to the existing audience, but then also we're set up for the long haul.
Yeah, I just saw this Fox Business headline just hit my phone. Elon Musk would reverse Trump Twitter ban, calling it morally wrong. Of course, the Truth Social exists out there as well. And I guess President Trump has come out and said he would not be rejoining Twitter. I wonder how you feel, having worked so closely with Donald Trump and seeing upfront and very personally how he was so mistreated by every sense of media, how you think that his persona plays into Twitter, into Getter, or his own platform, Truth Social?
You know, it's a great question, because the first thing that popped in my mind is that Musk is looking for ways to, obviously, to make Twitter more profitable. And I think that what's clear is that a big part of the reason why they've lost market share over the last 8-9 months or so is not just from Getter's launch, where we're a direct competitor to them, but I think with President Trump and so many of his allies being sidelined, that they're looking and saying, we're never going to make this profitable like we want to unless we get Trump back on the platform, unless we get his followers back on the platform. So I think Musk is taking a look at the user stats, who they've lost, who they still have. And I don't know how much Musk is, this is really something that's coming from the bottom of his heart, or if this is something that's a pure business decision. My gut tells me this is probably more of a business decision, but we'll find that out in short order.
Sure. Bottom of the heart, bottom of the pocket, either one. Either one matter. I don't have a problem with either one of them. We're speaking with Jason Miller, the CEO of Getter. He's also the former senior advisor to President Donald J. Trump. Getter's success, you've talked a lot about the global success of Getter. How does that fit into the conversation that we have here stateside, where so much of this talk about, you know, what happens next with Twitter? Certainly, it's a global product, but it's happening. The questions about censorship that we have here in the country, we've got a lot of global people on Twitter that make you scratch your head, like, why do they have a platform there, but Donald Trump doesn't? What is Getter's reaction to being a global company and having the support that it's had so far?
Yeah, so I think that shows that this isn't just a U.S. problem. And that's one of the things, obviously, I'd worked for President Trump until I left to go and take the helm at Getter. As I realized I started making the phone calls and connecting with international contacts and starting to travel the world, is that so many countries are facing these same challenges, whether it's our Hindu nationalist friends in India that are being shut down by Twitter, whether it's the fact that the big tech platforms have been discriminating against President Bolsonaro in Brazil and his allies. Of course, the UK and some of our EU friends have gone through their challenges. So what we found is this isn't unique just to us. This is something that's happening all over the world. And especially as Facebook has laid out and said that they're going to be increasing their anti-disinformation, anti-misinformation efforts surrounding elections. I think we heard that in 2020, and we know how that turned out. They basically went in and picked a side and said, if we agree with you, then we're going to make it easy for you to communicate. And if we disagree with you, or if you happen to maybe be wanting to push the Hunter Biden laptop story, then we're going to shut you down.
Yeah. Americans see it now more than ever, and they look at the result of what all the censorship gave us in our government. And I think that they are scratching their heads, like I said, and saying we need to do something different. And that might be on Getter. For folks who haven't signed up, we are there at Annie Fry Show. And I know that you are active on there as well. People can connect to you there. And we appreciate your time today, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you again soon. The CEO of Getter, Jason Miller, on with us there. Former President Trump's senior advisor. It's pretty cool to have him here talking to us about this. And that's crazy that Elon Musk story just dropped right now. Elon Musk would overturn former President Donald Trump's ban from Twitter if his purchase of the company is successful. I think Trump's going to be back on Twitter. I don't know that is a popular opinion, but I think he's got to be. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Do you like it above or below 80 degrees? Jim Carafano in a minute. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.